Good Thursday. Today is May the 1st, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, are making agricultural headlines as the Ninth Circuit decision ends a lawsuit that was seeking stricter regulations on some CAFOs. Some special interest groups were pushing in, putting pressure on, but a federal appeals court has sided with the U.S. EPA in this situation. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, an attempt by several environmental groups to push the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to tighten regulations on concentrated animal feeding operations, otherwise known as CAFOs, has ended as a federal appeals court denied their petition. Now, in February of last year, groups led by the Food and Water Watch and the Center for Biological Diversity sued the EPA for rejecting a 2017 petition to tighten regulations on CAFOs, and they asked the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit to review the EPA's rejection of that petition. Well, the Ninth Circuit rejected that petition, saying in its ruling, we may set aside EPA's denial if that was arbitrary, capricious, and abuse of discretion, or otherwise not in accordance with the law, because we find that the EPA did not act arbitrarily, capricious, or contrary to the law, we then deny that petition. Now, the environmental groups argued in a court brief last year that the agency has the authority to revise its interpretation of the agricultural stormwater exemption, calling the agency decision to reject the petition wholesale, arbitrary, and capricious. Now, agricultural groups did file a brief with the Ninth Circuit as interveners in the lawsuit on June 7th of last year. Those groups included the National Pork Producers Council, the American Farm Bureau Federation, U.S. Poultry and Egg Association, and United Egg Producers. Although the EPA declined to open rulemaking at this moment, it did not refuse to take any action with respect to CAFO's regulation, the court said in its ruling. In response to the petition, the EPA acknowledged the serious problems of CAFO-based waste discharge into U.S. waterways, and it decided that the most effective way to counter the problem is to further study its effluent limitations guidelines and to commission a stakeholder subcommittee. Now, the environmental groups proposed two ways for the EPA to update the CAFO program, including rewriting the rule to require more CAFOs to obtain permits, even if they don't actually discharge pollutants, and to reinterpret the statutory definition of point source pollution to prohibit an agricultural stormwater exemption for CAFOs. Now, although current CAFO regulations limit land application of manure, the environmental group said in a court brief that the rules, quote, exempt a large swath of land application regulated to discharges from regulation as agricultural stormwater. The environmental groups told the court the EPA has consistently failed to improve CAFO rules. Agricultural groups that filed briefs in defense of the EPA said the lawsuit mischaracterized the EPA's permitting power and how the system limits pollution from CAFOs. They said many states impose more requirements on livestock operations than the federal program. The ag groups called all the CAFOs, whether permitted or unpermitted, must meet a zero discharge standard. Ag groups said precipitation runoff from land application areas are excluded from permitting only if CAFO farmers apply manure, litter, or process wastewater using sound agricultural practices. EPA regulations previously required CAFOs to apply for National Pollution Discharge Elimination Systems, or those NPDES permits, if they plan to discharge pollutants. In 2011, however, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit vacated that requirement. And in 23, the EPA announced the launch of a study of pollution generated by CAFOs after rejecting petitions from the environmental groups back in 2017 and in 2022. The 2022 petition was filed by numerous state-level clean water advocacy groups, as well as Friends of the Earth, Earth Justice, Humane Society of the United States, and others. It asked the EPA to adopt a presumption that large CAFOs using wet manure management systems discharge pollutions. The 2017 petition asked the EPA to change the CAFO regulations to assume several things, including CAFOs with certain production area characteristics do actually discharge. Regulations should assume CAFOs applying manure to land as fertilizer actually discharge, and to revise the EPA interpretation of the agriculture stormwater exemptions to clarify that it does not include any CAFO-related discharges, among other requests. So as you can see, the battle continues on when it comes to livestock and environmental groups. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Take a look back to April's Cattle on Feed report and maybe some of the revelations that came out with USDA's latest numbers regarding inventories, placements, and marketing. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Still lower cattle inventory year over year, per USDA's April Cattle on Feed report, yet continued signs of attempted inventory buildup. This is livestock analyst Anthony Fisher.
The number of cattle on feed and feedlots on April 1st was 11.64 million head. This was about 2% below a year ago. The report showed an increase in placements, which was within the range that industry analysts were expecting. The number of cattle placed in feedlots was about 1.84 million head, which was about 5% above 2024.
Marketings of fed cattle also represented a 1% increase from this time last year. Regarding marketing trends noted both in the report and within the cattle industry.
We look at the marketing numbers, specifically the number of cattle on feed over 150 days. This is a marker that illustrates how fast cattle are being marketed, and this number continues to grow.
Well above a year ago in absolute terms, as well as percentage of number of cattle on feed. Fisher says this is also reflected in heavier dress weights of slaughter cattle.
Feedlots, they continue to sell fed cattle at record high prices. This underscores their willingness to pay higher prices for feeder animals.
A real world example of this.
The price of feeder steers weighing between 750 and 800 pounds sold at Oklahoma stockyards. This is a number that we track. It averaged about $283 per hundredweight in March. This was up 12% from a year ago. It was a record high price for the series, and it's steadily risen for the last 6 to 9 months.
Driven by what Fisher calls a very strong current fed cattle price.
In March, the fed cattle price averaged nearly $208 per hundredweight. This is also a record high price for the five area steers that we track, and it's up 11% from a year ago.
In addition,
it's worth noting that April also gives us a breakout of cattle on feed for heifers and steers. On April 1st, there were 4.38 million head of heifers and heifer calves on feed, which was about 4% below a year ago.
With a lower percentage of heifers and heifer calves making up the total cattle and feedlot population than 1 year ago. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.